This is Radio EcoShock with your host, Alex Smith.
Experts behind the Global Tree Assessment just issued their scientist's warning to humanity on tree extinctions. Here to explain why the plight of trees matters so much is the lead author, Dr. Malin Rivers. She is an internationally recognized expert from Botanic Gardens Conservation International. From the UK, Malin Rivers, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you.
We hear so much shocking news these days. How did it slip by that our friends the trees have fallen into such deep trouble?
The trees have always been at risk of extinction, I guess. There are lots of trees that we have known on for a long time, but generally what we haven't known until now is the extent that the trees have been threatened. So we've maybe known one or two species or a handful, but now we have information on all of tree species in the world.
So there are catalogs of beetles and of birds. Do we have a master list of tree species on Earth?
We do now. So when we started this project in 2015, we did not know how many tree species we had around the world. So that was the first thing we had to set off to do for our global tree assessment. We had to catalogue the world's tree species to figure out how many species we had and where in the world they were.
Your team undertook a huge global tree assessment, and the results are shocking. How much of the planet's tree cover do you think has disappeared since industrial civilization began a few hundred years ago?
So if we're talking tree cover, so that's forest loss, that's a little bit different from tree extinction rates. So we can obviously lose a big extent of forest, but what we really looked at here is how many species that is that we're talking about. And what we found is that one third of tree species are at risk of extinction. That would be looking at going extinct in the next 100 years or so if nothing is done.
That sounds pretty frightening, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I've worked on this now for many years, and I guess it's not surprising to me, but what we're finding for the first time is having all of this information, we can give it to the public, and actually the public are now saying, oh my goodness, we didn't realize that it was that bad. And that's the problem when we're working on tree species. We have nearly 60,000 tree species around the world. So obviously it's taken us a long time to do this global tree assessment where we have a comprehensive understanding of what's happening. Whereas if we think about mammals and birds and reptiles and amphibians, they have done these assessments before, but they are working on an order of magnitude fewer species and have obviously been able to do their assessments a bit earlier.
So most of our listeners on Radio EcoShock are in North America and Europe. Is that where tree species are disappearing in the highest numbers, the extinction hotspots, so to speak?
Not really. I mean, there are more tree species in the tropics, so that's where you see the highest number of threatened tree species as well. But saying that, in Europe and North America, we also have threatened species, and we also have species that have gone extinct and are going extinct. It's not a problem that's only found in the tropics or on tropical islands, which is actually where the highest concentration of these species are. So it's a truly global problem. I would say probably in every country there are tree species that are at risk of extinction. What we are finding is the difference between these regions or countries is the type of threat that we're seeing that these species are facing do differ between these different regions.
So we naively ask, what is causing this threat of a mass extinction of tree species?
Yes, on the global scale, the main threat is habitat loss, and that habitat loss is mainly due to agricultural expansion. When I say the main threat, that is because most of that is happening in tropical countries, so that then dominates the threat when we look at this globally. If we look at this on a regional scale, so if we're looking at North America and Europe, for example, the main threat here are pests and diseases and invasive problems or invasive species. So we can see that, for example, in the ash species that are at risk both in North America and in Europe. They're actually threatened by different pests in those two areas, but they're impacting those species a lot and putting many of the ash or the Fraxinus species at risk of extinction.
Well, suppose the number of types of trees dwindles, but we still have forests. What's the problem with a simplification of the species?
So that is really what we were trying to show through this new paper that we wrote about the warning to humanity on tree species loss. And that is the fact that what's important within those forests is the species diversity. And what we're finding that if we're losing diversity, the ecosystem function is not carried out to its optimum. Even something like carbon capture, for example, they have shown that carbon absorption rates are actually lower in monocultural forests than they are in native forests with a diverse set of species. And that obviously is true for many other things as well. So when we're talking about soil stabilization or, you know, being able to withstand storm damage and things, we know that native diverse forests are much better at withstanding that and providing the ecosystem function. And what we're always also saying is that each tree species has a function, and if we start removing these tree species one by one, at some stage we will have collapse in that ecosystem. And are we willing to risk playing that game of Jenga, really, by pulling out each, you know, piece by piece and just wait for the tower to collapse? And I would say that's a very risky game to play.
Well, let's talk for a second about trees and climate change. Do trees help the planet cope with our additional global warming gases in the fossil fuel age?
Well, absolutely. I mean, trees. We know that trees absorb carbon, so we know trees are important in climate change mitigation and adaptation. We also know that they do that better when there is a diverse set of species. And equally, I would like to say that we can't solve the climate change crisis without also solving the biodiversity crises. So, you know, these things go hand in hand and they help each other out. And I think isolating the two as two separate issues is not helpful for anyone. And, I mean, we welcome very much the fact that the conference in Glasgow, the leaders called for a stop to deforestation because of climate change, but obviously that will also have huge impact on biodiversity conservation as well, and we just really hope that governments take that pledge seriously and that will actually happen.
Well, turning it the other way around, is climate change a driving force in tree loss?
Yes, in certain places it is. I mean, we're finding climate change to be an emerging threat. I guess it's quite a long-term threat, so we may not have seen all of the impacts yet on trees. Trees are also often very long-lived, so take a bit of time to show some of those impacts. But we are finding climate change coming out as an emerging threat, especially, again, on tropical islands, where we're seeing both sea level rise, but also an increase in hurricanes and storms really impacting tree diversity there. So it obviously these species have evolved with the risk of hurricanes and cyclones, but what they haven't evolved with is the intensity of it, the frequency of it, and also the lack of natural habitat to recolonize or to establish themselves in. So, you know, climate change is really exacerbating all of those threats to the species there.
The Scientist's Warning finds an earlier work that said that tree extinctions, 25 countries have lost their forest cover entirely. I had no idea that had happened, although Haiti came to mind as a possibility. Do you have any other examples of countries that just lost their forest cover?
Yeah, I mean, Haiti has lost, I think it's something like 97% of their forest cover, so that is definitely a country with high level of forest loss and also a high, very high level of threatened trees. We also have, it's not a country, but an area like the Easter Island, for example, there obviously used to be tree cover there, which is completely gone. Some of those other countries that are in that report is referring to are in the Middle East. Some of those countries have lost their forest cover completely as well.
The Global Tree Assessment finds the single largest pot of gold for tree biodiversity is still the Amazon rainforest. Talk to us about how things are going there for the trees.
So the Amazon rainforest is obviously a huge area. It's spanning several countries, and there are actually the highest tree diversity is in South America. So we're finding there's a lot of trees found in that area as well. Again, the situation is obviously complicated there as well, but again, the main threat in the Amazon is loss of habitat. So basically deforestation of the habitat for agriculture, both in terms of soil plantation, but also a lot of ranching and cattle production. These are the main threats there across that region.
And what is the situation with threatened trees in Indonesia?
Yeah, so again, Indonesia is one of our other mega diverse countries, as we call them. So there are a few countries around the world which has sort of disproportionately more tree species than anywhere else. And Brazil in the Amazon, as well as Indonesia, are one of those countries. Again, there we're finding the main threats there again is loss of habitat, mainly due to palm oil plantation, but also we have a big threat of logging. So, for example, if we look at the diptycop trees, so the diptycop family of hundreds of species of trees which are providing timber for this region, they are highly, highly threatened there because of logging and also in combination with deforestation loss. So we just did a study in Borneo looking at those the diptycops of Borneo, and we found that 69% of those tree species in the diptycop family are at risk of extinction. So that's like twice as many as the global average, and that will clearly have impact not only for those species, but also for the forest which they're maintaining, the associated species like the orangutans and smaller things, as well as the ecosystem services.
Well, some Indonesian companies claim the palm plantations are forests too, and big forest companies in North America say they replant forests, even though whole valleys are now planted with just one or two commercial species. What do scientists make of these claims?
I guess it also depends how you define forest. Clearly, they are stands of trees, I agree, and I'm sure they do have some associated other species living with them, but we know that native stands of forest are, and diverse such, are the best way to protect trees and also to protect associated species. So when we have deforestation in one area and reforestation potentially in a different area of a monoculture, those two things are not equivalent. And I think that's something we have to be really careful with now, with, you know, many tree planting schemes and companies are sort of selling themselves as being really good for the environment. But I think we have to be really critical here and say, are those tree planting schemes planting the right tree in the right place? Are they planting native trees? Are they even planting some of these threatened trees potentially to help with the survival of them? You know, and I think that's us as consumers. We have to make sure that we ask those questions.
And unfortunately, the story of deforestation does include crime. We have illegal logging and the international trade of protected tree species. Does your report mention that at all?
We are looking at timber trees especially, and that's obviously where we have a lot of the illegal logging or illegal targeting of species, which complicates the matters for those species because it's difficult to get all the data on impact and things for timber trees. But we do look at that, and illegal logging is a major issue for many timber trees. We do also have illegal collection for ornamental species. So we did a study on camellias and magnolias, and for some of those really rare species, we know that targeted collection is a real problem for some of those ornamental species as well.
And as your warning points out, forests are critical for many national economies. Why should the business world care about losing tree species?
The business world should care about losing tree species because it's likely to underpin a lot of the resources that they depend on, either directly or indirectly. Forests are supporting nearly half of the world's known animal and plant species, and providing the carbon storage and accessible fresh water and preventing soil erosion, etc. So as long as the business is involved in any of those things, indirectly or directly, caring about tree diversity will be essential for them.
Malin Rivers, can protected areas still work to save tree biodiversity?
Yes, they can. So I think, as we pointed out in the report, that like protecting trees in their natural habitat is by far the best thing to do, because they've evolved there, their associated species are there, that's where they're meant to be. So we are advocating strongly to protect species in the area where they're found. Protected areas are obviously a really good way of ensuring those areas are protected as far as possible against threats. However, we can do a lot more. So we found that 2/3 of tree species are actually found in protected areas, but we also found that many of those areas are not being managed for their trees. So they're probably managed for some other reason, so maybe for some threatened animals, or maybe for, you know, their scenicness, or whatever the reason is that they're in a protected area, but very rarely is threatened trees the reason for them being protected. So we're really trying to advocate to protected area managers and inform them and educate them and tell them that they have protected, you know, threatened trees in their regions, and really make sure that they can put in some action plans to also safeguard those trees in those areas.
The new Scientist's Warning to Humanity on Tree Extinctions contains ideas to get this message out. I love the idea of charismatic megaflora. How can that help?
All need to have something that grabs our attention, you know, and we can give people these scary numbers of saying 1/3 of trees are threatened with extinction, but it's really when we are selling these stories of trees or selling the stories of people and trees that we can get to the heart of people, and we can really get people to be motivated to make a difference. So again, like having the panda as the flagship for the animals, it would be really nice to see maybe the, you know, giant redwood or a baobab or something really, you know, to be the flagship and to carry the voice of the situation for trees.
Well, many humans have an instinctive love for trees, perhaps coming from our earliest evolution. Tree worship and spiritual forests have a long history in many parts of the world. Surely we can't let these amazing, unique species just disappear forever.
No, exactly. I mean, I think that's the other thing. We can put financial values on this, and we can count things and put numbers, but actually the true value is in the cultural and spiritual value it has to people as well. And I think it's probably through that more intangible value that trees play that we actually can make the biggest difference in converting people to for the cause of the trees.
As we wrap up here, what do you see as needed next for global tree watchers?
There are several things that we would like to see, but I mean, my first thing is just this, having this recognition of the importance of tree species. So having this recognition that we have so many tree species and 1/3 of them are at risk of extinction. And the other thing I'd like to say, the other main thing, is that we need to act now. So, I mean, there's real urgency to act for trees, and that's acting on a whole host of levels, you know, from governments, is setting policy and legislation down to, you know, conservation organizations working for trees, but also on an individual level, you know, for people to act, you know, take an interest in your local trees, you know, support the botanic garden or local nature reserves, and again, make choices if you're going to donate money for tree planting schemes, etc., and make sure that those are being done responsibly.
From the International Organization for Botanical Gardens around the world, we've been speaking with expert scientist Dr. Malin Rivers. And Scientist's Warning to Humanity on Tree Extinctions is available free online. You can find links to that in my show blog at ecoshock.org, or you can find out more about Botanic Gardens Conservation International at www.ggci.org, ggci.org. Malin Rivers, thank you for sharing this essential message with our listeners.
No, thank you for having me.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
This is a climate emergency. Find out more on the blog, ecoshock.org. No sign up, just the latest info, free for all. ecoshock.org.